Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
The best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got some fun stuff lined up to take you right to the top of the hour. Getting some entertainment news in a moment. We'll also get into a little bit later the 10 things we wish we had more time for on Sundays. How many of
just
us...
Just Sundays?
Just Sundays,
just
yeah.
Sundays.
How many of us just scribble our name and how many of us write it out?
And we'll Seth.
Telling you.
We'll get into our schedule for the weekend, too. We got some new programming for you. Want to talk about all that coming up for you. But we kick off the hour with a little bit of entertainment news and talking about the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
Songwriting comes so easy for some people. Bruce seems to be one of them. He talks about this from time to time. And then he can create a hit song in just 2 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
That's how long it took for him to write I'm on Fire from the 1984 album Born in the USA.
Wow.
He says, quote, "That was literally a song I wrote in 2 minutes. Didn't even think about it. Didn't think it was ever going to be on a record. Didn't think that anybody ever hear it." And if you go to iTunes now, it's number one favorite song out of everybody's songs I've written. And I wrote that in 2 minutes.
You never know, man.
So in some of what he was talking about, there's a lot of context that they didn't put in the article here with this one. I know this because I read this one because it was noted to me where, hey, it was shown to me, I mean, because I am a classic overthinker. And I don't just do this in my day-to-day life. I do it with my creativity. I do it with a lot of things. Melissa and Seth know this very well. And I feel bad for that. And I want to apologize publicly. But there's often times where I actually was just talking to Seth about this morning. The famous director, one of the best directors we ever had, Stanley Kubrick, was famous for doing 70 takes on a shot and also famous for usually using the first one or two takes he took.
Right.
Oftentimes, our first ideas tend to be the great ones, but because we grew up in this society where we think, well, true creativity, it takes grind and hours and all these different pain and blood and sweat and tears and all this, and sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. And other times, you just come up with a hit, man. It's just you get it in your head and you're like, okay, oh, I'm on fire. Hey, yep. Little girl, what do you... Now, it does help, one, when you mumble a lot of what you're saying.
Wait, what was he singing there? I didn't catch that.
Somebody add those words in later before we, put the album out.
Yeah, right.
I would almost guarantee that Mr. Springsteen would not put this as one of his better written songs. It's not a very wordy song.
No.
There's not a whole ton to this one. But it's a top five of songs of mine for him. It's one of my favorites.
It's a great song.
I love this song.
And that trend picked up, caught on, because look at most of the songs nowadays.
Right. Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because when you a lot of times when you hear about songwriters, they usually talk about the ones that are like this.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, it came together really fast. The reason they say that is because usually it takes a lot longer. You change lyrics, you change, riffs. A song, the way it starts and the way it ends is usually not very close. You come up with an idea and then you got to work on it and do it and this stuff. So when they talk about the ones, hey, I did that in 2 minutes, it was because... That's rarity. That doesn't happen very often.
This is one of my favorite sneaky topics to go down a rabbit hole on is how a song was written or how it was created and everything. It's like you hear Freddie Mercury talk about he went to the opera and on the drive home, like a 5-6 minute drive home, wrote Bohemian Rhapsody. Like things like that.
Yeah.
But then you hear John and Paul from the Beatles talking about it and how difficult songwriting was together. But as soon as they got away from each other, it was really free and easy for a while, and then all of a sudden it became hard again. Mm-hmm. And they missed each other, like desperately missed each other, to the point of where they didn't feel as confident about the work they were creating and the rest of their careers, for John especially, having such a short extent of a career and everything. It's fascinating to me how it works and stuff.
That creative process is really interesting.
And another thing that's really interesting to me about it, too, is you hear this, and it's artists, oftentimes it is a Bruce Springsteen, it is a Sir Paul McCartney. It's these artists where, well, they're established. I mean, they got to feel pretty confident Nope. Still just as insecure, man. Still just as uncertain of the work that they do. So many. There's plenty of artists that aren't.
Of course.
But there's a lot more of them. I would say the majority of artists that you love out there, everybody, are insecure. Are not that not as confident as you might think they are, which I think you can all take some confidence in. Everybody can take a little
bit. I think we're all there, yeah.
This is an interesting list. BuzzFeed put together a list of celebrities who officiated the weddings of their co-stars.
Fun.
I thought this was just a fun, interesting list. And just putting together, what if anything, it puts these scenarios of these people at a wedding scenario together. not putting on airs, just we all know how weddings can go.
Yes.
Matthew Modine officiated Stranger Things co-stars Millie Bobby Brown and Jake Bon Jovi's wedding.
Really?
It's interesting.
Love that. Love it.
Now, he was only in like the first season or two of Stranger Things, I think, too.
Yeah. So and he wasn't in it very much. Yeah. He would just had a smaller part. But
another one of those actors, everybody talks highly about Matthew Modine. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves working with that guy. The Dark Knight, I dissected that movie like insanely. It's my favorite superhero movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. They talk about that movie. Of course, so many people talk about their experience with Heath Ledger. Mm-hmm. It's almost like right after that, and Matthew Modine was great. Like, he wasn't in it that much, but they talk about working with him and everything. Jesse Tyler Ferguson officiated Modern Family co-star Sarah Hyland and Wells Adams' wedding.
Okay.
Victor Garber officiated Alias co-star Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck's wedding.
Really?
Very wild.
Wow. That's
an interesting
Victor
one.
Garber, boy, talk about an underrated talent, man.
Yeah.
He was mostly a theater actor and song and dance guy, but he had some good juicy roles on TV.
One of those faces, you knew it as soon as you saw it. And you knew you were going to get a good performance out of that guy, too. Carson Daly officiated the Voices co-stars Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani's birthdays. I almost said Blake Shelley, and I kind of like his name better that way. I kind of like Blake Shelley.
Play two poets there. Blake and Shelley. Yeah, there you go.
Boy, that's an interesting one. Norman Reedus and Jensen Ackles officiated Jeffrey Dean Morgan's wedding to Hillary Burton.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
That is cool.
God, I wish I would. All right, there's a wedding. I would have crashed. I would have given anything to crash that. You know that was a great wedding.
Yes, it would have been a blast.
There is no way that was just a normal, this is a wonderful, this is a nice time we're having here. Yes, a very nice time we're having here. No, that was
a theme wedding.
Yeah, definitely. Those guys, oh my God, that had to have been awesome. Jeffrey worked closely with, Jensen on Supernatural. They became lifetime friends. And Norman Reedus on The Walking Dead, who became lifetime friends.
Friends, right, yeah.
One of the most real people in the industry is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Right after that is Jensen Ackles, and right after that is Norman Reedus. Like, those guys, they're the real deal right there.
Jeffrey Dean, he's if you look up grizzled in the dictionary, there's a picture of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He is so good. He plays the grizzled guy so good.
I'm telling you, you want to see a sneaky, great action movie, watch The Losers. You get a Jeffrey Dean Morgan leading the charge. He's amazing. This is long before his big breakout roles and everything. Idris Elba is fantastic in it, and a young Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. A young Chris Evans in it, too. Just steals the show left and right.
Cool.
You see him on there, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be big. The Losers. That's a great action movie, everybody. And finally, Sir Ian McKellen officiated X-Men co-stars Patrick Stewart
and
jazz singer Sonny Ovel's wedding.
Yeah.
How could that not be an awesome ceremony?
That would have been a very cool wedding, too, to be at.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I would have been like having a great time at the Reedus and Jeffrey D. Morgan wedding and everything. With that one, I would not have said a word to anybody. I've been too
intimidated. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It'd be one thing if I ran into Sir Ian McKellen, but then you run into Sir Patrick Stewart at the same time. Like, oh my God. And you know they weren't the only celebrities there.
Of course not. But at the same time,
there's a bunch of sirs there. There's a bunch.
From every account, like, Ian McKellen is like the most delightful person ever.
Absolutely.
And one of the nicest people. So, yeah.
There was a moment in Lord of the Rings where they're filming and they're in the Hobbit house and they're just starting to film. And the co-stars, you know, there are so many people on these sets, let alone a movie like Lord of the Rings. Mm. And nobody really knows each other by name or anything like that. And, you know, for a lot of extras and people like, you know, your boom workers and that, mm-hmm. You see a person like Ian McKellen or Elijah Wood and you're going to be a little intimidated. And I've actually talked to a couple of people that worked on that movie.
Ooh.
And they talk about, you know, the intimidation in the first hours on the set and how intense it was. And most of these people have never been to New Zealand before, and they're all out of their sorts and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're filming, and it's really quiet. And Ian delivers his line, turns around, and smashes his head on the Hobbit, the ceiling, you know, one of the pieces of the ceiling. And Peter Jackson freaks out. He's like, oh, my God, are you okay? Okay. And he starts just, Ian McKellen starts just laughing. And he's like, tell me you got that. Tell me you're keeping that in the movie. And sure enough, they did.
They did.
They kept it in the movie, you know. And it's just the next three movies were all light and happy and good vibes because of that mm-hmm. moment and the way Sir Ian McKellen handled that moment. Not like a diva. Who put this wall there? You know, or something like that. Like,
I mean, he is in a Hobbit house and he's 5'11".
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. It's a little hard to get around.
Just a cool story.
That's it. That's a very cool story.
New on your small screen this weekend, Happy Place. Reba McEntire's back on TV, everybody.
Ooh.
Nice.
Reba stars in this one. It co-stars with Matt and Melissa Peterman. They reunite for the sitcom about Reba running a bar with Belsa Escardo, a half-sister she never knew about.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
Now,
interesting.
I don't know if this is a continuation of the series Reba? Is this I don't know.
That's,
I guess I didn't think about that.
It sounds like no, but I mean
no,
with some
it's
the same
comedy.
The same group of, or at least some of the same co-stars,
sure,
but it sounds
sure.
like but yeah.
I'm just happy she's back acting, back on TV and everything. She's good. She's a good one.
She's right behind Dolly.
I was just gonna say the
Goodwill thing there. She's right behind her.
God, how we share a brain. I was just going to say that if it wasn't for Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire yep. would be mm-hmm. where Dolly Parton is.
Yep.
Like, she's right there. The 16th season of Shark Tank premieres today, along with the 8th season premiere of SWAT. I believe it's the last season of SWAT. Also, the 3rd season premiere of Fire County and Blue Bloods returns today. It is that I know that it's the final season of Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too. I had a weird argument with my son the other day about Shark Tank. I don't know why. It was very bizarre. Wait, so.
Was he like me and very disappointed that it wasn't a bunch of rich people at a tank with sharks? Because I was very disappointed.
If that's what the show was, James, I would be all on board,
I'd be
man.
I'd watching every episode.
I would be right there.
I'd be glued to that one. Anna Kendrick stars in the her directorial debut, Woman of the Hour, which is about an aspiring actress in the 1970s who was cast opposite a serial killer on The Dating Game. It's loosely based on a true story.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I admire Anna Kendrick really pushes herself. Mm-hmm. She's really been trying really hard to get this break and to direct. And she has not gotten an
love
opportunity
it.
For quite some time. I'm really happy for her. We need more women directing.
We need more. I love actors who decide to take that plunge. That's a big deal for actors who are not to be able to direct. Yeah.
It can really hurt your career. Mm. Elizabeth Banks, wonderful comedic actress, fantastic, very noticeable.
She's great.
You'll know her if you see her kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
She got
absolutely love her.
She got behind the camera, and she's been having a heck of a time trying to get back in front of it. So she's kind of stuck almost.
Mm-hmm.
To do that,
weird.
You're doing it because you really want this,
mm-hmm.
not because, I thought this would be
give
fun.
Give it a try. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I admire that. I admire yeah. she's doing that.
Me too.
Friday on Peacock, Hysteria. It's a TV show about a high school band. It's a high school band that tries it taps into a satanic panic and it actually like opens something up. Julie Bowen.
Time of year for it.
It is yeah, perfect.
I'm bringing it up mainly because Bruce Campbell's in it, and I love Bruce Campbell.
Wow, me too. Gotta love the Campbell.
Greatest jaw possibly in horror movie history, like at least in horror movie history. The 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is on Disney Plus tonight at 7. And I cannot wait for this. On Saturday Night Live, hosting this week, I did it earlier. I'm Batman. Michael Keaton is hosting Batman.
Oh,
is
man.
He's hosting Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
He's hosting
Saturday Night Live. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
He's done, has he done? He's done it before.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah. Billie Eilish will be the music guest.
Wow, you know,
that's a that's a banger. It's a good of an combo episode, yeah. Right there. Sunday Night Football: Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the New York Jets. that's going to be a rough one. And episode 5 of the Penguin premieres, and then a 1-hour special: Bruce Springsteen backstage and Backstreets. That'll be on ABC on Sunday at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's cool.
Part of the reason where that interview we were talking about earlier comes from. Not a whole lot new on your big screen this weekend. Rumors starring Kate Blanchett and Charles Dance. It's a weird sci-fi kind of movie. It's a political satire and horror movie all thrown into one.
Oh, interesting.
I'll be honest, I ain't going to see it in the theaters, but I will see that one.
Sounds like campy fun to me.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And Kate Blanchett. Like, you had me at Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
Goodrich, R-rated. This is Michael Keaton and Mila Kunis. And this is an interesting movie from Michael Keaton. It's a more of a dramatic and serious role. I think there's some comedy in there. But, you know, it's a good one. And I like seeing him work.
Yep.
And Smile 2 is out. Of course, a sequel to the Smile movie that was really big a couple years ago. More importantly than any of those, though, is karaoke. Spooky karaoke.
Spooky.
That's right.
Spooky karaoke going on tonight from 6 to 9 over at the Lewis Canton Theater over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, our second home. Mm-hmm. All ages welcome.
This is open up to kids. Mm-hmm. Wear your costumes.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Wear those costumes, everybody.
You may win a prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know. And look, you only get to wear these costumes like once during the month. Like, I say take it every chance you get.
I'm telling
to wear
you, there's them, chances to wear more than once. Yeah,
yeah. Head on over there and check that out. We've got some more other fun things going on today and this weekend. We'll be bringing up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But the spooky karaoke night going on from 6 to 9 tonight over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Find out more and get your tickets you can just come all.
Mm-hmm.
This is a free event. Make sure to spread the word about that event too. But if you'd
and
like
be
tickets,
ready to sing your spooky karaoke song.
That's right.
Oh, I can't.
The Monster Mash.
Yeah, there's got to be some good one.
I mean, yes. I can't be there tonight, so sing Monster Mash all you want. In fact, get it out of your systems now.
Nice.
So I don't have to hear it anymore.
And get your tickets for the Silver Foxes production that is coming up on the 24th. And, of course, for White Christmas. Get your tickets for White Christmas as well, everybody.
Yeah,
WRC
they are
Theater.
Under rehearsals already.
They are.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Getting ready.
WRCtheater.org. WRCtheater.org. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to get you ready for our news break with this one right here. A random new poll asked, when you make a credit card purchase and are offered a space to sign, what do you typically do? 68% say that they sign an actual signature, 19% say they draw a line or scribble, and 3% leave the space blank. 2% say that they just do something else. It's unclear what that. Maybe they just draw an X. I don't know.
Just do something else?
I don't know.
That's very vague. Okay.
They really should have had a follow-up to that
one. They should have.
Not surprisingly, older folks are more likely to use actual signatures. Some boomers might blame this on a cursive not being emphasized in schools, but the real thing about it is signature screens at checkout counters,
tiny,
which would turn your signature into scribble no matter what.
Basically, yeah.
You could have the world's most beautiful signature, and it's still going to come out.
Right, right.
If you think about it, the times when you're asked to sign have been declining rapidly over the past 5 years. Ever since the credit card companies stopped requiring signatures in 2018 because they don't even look at them anymore.
Right.
They have other ways of detecting fraud and are able to reach out to you immediately on your phone. So signatures are really just there to make you feel more secure. Mm. They're not really doing anything.
Right.
Of course, there are still, quote, official documents that require people to have signatures. And even those, that doesn't seem as important as special as it once did, mm-hmm. especially since you can pretty much do anything online with DocuServe mm-hmm. or DocuSign. Sorry, yep. DocuSign. This is interesting where we're at. And I honestly hadn't thought much about this. I was all going into this conversation. Okay, well, If I'm signing a birthday card, I try to sign my name, you know.
More legibly? Yeah, me too.
If I'm signing stuff here at work that we sign every day or something like that, I make sure that it's, you can tell it's my signature, but that's just by like the top letters. That's right. With the J or the M or something like that. The rest is all just, well, that's not even a letter. Did he put a number in there?
No. Nope.
Is that a four? Is that, there's no four in James.
Yeah.
But I just being honest about it. But I didn't think about the fact that we've kind of really phased this out of our society a lot.
We have. Absolutely. And anymore, you know, we're for like school, for example, you know, you get documents from teachers and you have permission slips. And basically the signature is just there to show that you read it. And that you understood what was there. Yeah. So
acknowledgement
of receiving it. Basically, that's what it is. Yeah.
How
but for people who don't want to, you know, like or have a long, hard, difficult name to sign, you could just be like me. Pick your own name.
There you go.
Pick a short, easy one, easy to sign, easy to recognize, and there you go. Just quick $200.
I don't,
a month process.
I don't like the idea of putting you on the spot, but I am fascinated by that process, Melissa, of doing that. I actually talked to my ex-wife about this. She recently did a very similar thing. And
yeah,
I was
it's not all that easy. It's a pain in the butt.
There's a lot of people.
You got to get a new Social Security card. You got to get a new driver's license. You got to change it on all of your official documents. You have to go to court twice. You have to run it in the newspaper for, I believe, 3 weeks. And
still do that? Wow.
Pay the court fees. Well, yeah, because it's for people who are trying to change their name for nefarious reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
So it does. I mean, I asked her the same question, Melissa, if it seemed necessary to jump through as many hoops to do something like this. But it does seem like it isn't. I don't know if necessary is the right word, but it does feel like there are reasons for a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say it's necessary because you don't want people to be able to just change their names officially willy-nilly.
Right.
It does also put on there, like, I think a lot of, like myself, I've talked many times about not liking my name for a long time and everything. And it's all well and good until you're like, okay, well, what would you choose?
It's not all that easy.
What is my name?
And my grandma Bo asked Sheboygan. Me.
That didn't work. No.
My grandma asked me when I did select my name. She's like, "Well, why didn't you just go back to your maiden name?" I'm like, "Well, Grandma, it's not real easy to say. It's not easy to spell, and everybody mispronounces it."
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Reasons. Okay.
Yeah. See, now she did the smart thing, you know, James. We just. You know, we kept the old names that no one can pronounce and spell. So, you know.
old Meatloaf and Hab Hag.
Yeah, that's right.
It sounds like a meal. If you mispronounce our names.
No, it's morning. It's a morning show. It's Mouth Off and Hamburger in the morning.
It's perfect. Perfect.
or a law firm that nobody's going to, if you include K. If you include, like,
Meloff and Haberherger and K.
It's an interesting law firm right there.
You know, they sound trustworthy.
No,
with the way this is evolving and going and everything, could we get to a place where we're barely using our signatures?
I think
it's just like for birthday cards. Like,
you know,
a lot
of times it is just for your own peace of mind because you know nobody checks it. But I still, every once in a while, they're like, don't I have to sign for anything?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It seems weird when you don't, okay. Right? Yeah.
It's a little weird. And also, I got to say the what do you call it when you just press your card against something?
Oh, yeah.
The chip.
Chip thing. Sometimes some of those are real touchy. I got real nervous actually at the Marshfield Fair because my card wasn't anywhere close to her reader and it read it.
Ooh.
Huh.
Oh, like, whoa.
Ooh.
Like, I need to put this thing in a what do I encapsulate my card in to protect it from just randomly
some RDIF
people money? Like, what the heck?
RDIF sleeve.
Yeah. I carry around a metal box and I keep all my cards in there. It's very awkward. It's uncomfortable.
Oh, come on. James, just do that to add to your weight, James.
Yes, that.
I just...
So you don't get blown away in the fall.
I love the idea of James going up to a...
Stop wearing a cape.
Store. No, I like the cape.
Thank you.
I love the idea of James going up to buy something and he just pulls like the clunk. Let me get
like
my card.
Clunk.
All right, where are my keys? Oh, wait. Just wait. I see you with the check. You're going to take a while too. Let me find my keys. I don't remember the combination. We'll take a time out. We'll come back after our news break and have some more fun. We're getting into Sundays, everybody. Easy like Sunday morning. The 10 things we wish we had more time for on Sundays. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Got some good stuff to get into before we get to the top of the hour and wrap up the show for the week. And I got a good one right here. Sundays go so fast. They go so fast.
So fast.
Especially during football season. No, they go fast no matter what.
No, that's like a 3-hour marathon of torture.
A new poll asked Americans what they wish they had more time for on Sundays, and we've got some popular responses here. The number one on the list, or do you want to go number one or go down from start from bottom up?
Let's start from one.
All right. Let's number one on the list.
I have no opinion.
Sleeping. 31% wish there was more time to sleep on
really?
Sundays.
Really? Oh, okay. Wow.
Watching TV came in at number two at 19%.
People watch TV on Sundays?
Apparently they do.
So I feel like Sunday is the only time I do watch a lot of TV. I catch up on a lot of stuff. So
there you go,
Sunday night, I should say.
Yeah.
When I should probably be sleeping.
Yeah, they don't say that. Sleeping is number one, James. Yeah, sleeping. Yeah,
I'm doing this list wrong. Watching movies, 17%. Say that one. Okay.
Okay.
The same thing?
Well, for me it is.
Yeah, movies, shows, what is it?
Yeah.
A television, you're watching it.
Visiting loved ones. 17% wish there was more time for that.
Well, if they weren't watching TV, no. They can go visit their relatives.
Or sleeping.
Yeah, right, come on.
Mentally preparing for the week ahead. 12% wish they had more time to do that on Sundays.
It's called the Sunday dreads.
You're just sitting there at your coffee, just sitting there at your table at your coffee. I need more Sunday.
You need more Sunday and coffee, apparently.
Yeah. Shaped like a table?
Fine. Reading. 12% want to do more reading.
Yes. There we go. I'm in that 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More time to read while you dread Monday.
It's a good one. Does anybody else do this where they will read to try to help them fall asleep, but then the story they're reading
it's too
or whatever?
Good. Yes, that happens to me. Yeah,
that's why I read multiple books.
Yep.
Oh, good one. I didn't think of that. I'm not good with that, but maybe I should try that. Maybe that's a good one, Melissa.
No, I got a book in my car. I got a book on my table. I got a book by my bedside. I mean, you got to keep a book everywhere.
Wow, nice. Oh, I like that, actually.
Book in her pocket.
Well, now that I think about it, my mom does that. My mom, never thought of it.
Stashed books all over the place.
Yeah. Well, you just never, and granted, now our phones and having Kindle or Libby, which I use from our local library, you can borrow books right on your phone and read them. That's very handy. But having your phone out at a restaurant when you're eating by yourself is not as much of a deterrent for people just walking up and starting to talk to you as a book.
That's right. Because the whole reason we go out in public is for so that no one bothers us.
right.
That's why we're
alone in a restaurant. Yeah.
Going for a walk. 12% wish that they could go for a walk more on Sundays.
Man, well, if you have weather like we're going to be having on Sunday, you should really go for a walk.
Oh, take advantage of this weather.
No kidding.
It is unnaturally seasonal. Apparently.
Yeah, it is. Apparently. Yeah. And it's lovely. All the colors and everything. It's nice.
Yeah. Talking to loved ones on the phone. 11% more wish they could do that on Sundays.
That's when I call my folks. It's usually on Sundays. So, yeah.
It's a good day to catch up with family if they're not busy.
I know it's not a high percentage, but 11% of people saying that they want to talk on the phone more is just that's great to see. That's a very surprising one.
Actually, talk on the phone.
Who was part of this survey?
Yeah,
people over age 40.
Probably. There
you go. Yes.
Doing a DIY project. 10% wish that they had more time for that.
Yep, I'm in that.
Same.
Too.
Same. Yes. There's, I got like about 4 or 5 projects I'm dying to get to. And my dad's like my foreman. So he's just bugging me all the time about, Jimmy, we got to do this. That's definitely one. And yard work. 10% say yard work.
Okay.
715.
I don't know if that's a want to. It's kind of like a have to.
Yeah.
Although there are people that do enjoy it, so.
Yeah.
They enjoy doing yard work.
424-2600, 715-424-2600. What would you like to have more time for on Sundays? I see on the list as well, they have honorable mentions like cleaning, cooking, meditating, and exercising.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just need more time. You know what we need? We need a four-day work week. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Four-day work week.
Can we just rename Monday Sunday 2?
Yes, yes, but only if we can call it Son of Saturday.
I like that idea. I like the idea of calling a day a son of something. That's great.
I love the idea of our calendars all changing to Sunday too, and like everybody, like there's a group of people that
don't erased Mondays.
You're going to have a group of people that fight against it. Of course, no, Mondays are American. And, you know, they're like they get this whole
calendar debates.
Yes, calendarists. You know, the bunch of different stuff. What could go wrong? The poll also found that the average person experiences these so-called Sunday scaries.
See.
Nice. 36 times a year, and that is usually sets in around 3:54 p.m.
Wow, 3:54. Wow. Well, that is very specific.
Very specific. Yes.
Wow.
That's really
because they see it's almost 4 o'clock. Oh, man, the day is gone, and now we're into the evening, and the evening goes into the night, and the night goes into the next day, and then it's Monday.
And the weekend is over. It's effectively over then, right? Just done.
It is.
Done.
It is because the dread has set in.
What happened to my weekend?
Now, you know how you fix this?
Mm-hmm.
You just work all weekend. Then there is no weekend.
Just never stop.
The work week never ends, and so there's nothing to dread because it just keeps going.
All right. Now we're in
my wheelhouse. And going. Yes. And never stopping.
This is my wheelhouse.
I was going to say, Melissa, it sounds like that's. I figured it out now. The reason that she's been so chipper this morning is that she's this close to a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
I won't be here on Monday, guys.
You mean Sunday, too.
Yes. Oh, let's start that. We're going to start Monday's
confuse
show.
Confuse the heck out of everybody.
Just mess with everybody. I don't know that I feel dread necessarily at that time, but it's weird they say 3:54. That is almost exactly when, if I'm not already in work mode, when work mode starts for me for the week. Is then.
Right.
I tend to usually have a meeting for my class that I'm teaching on Sundays right around that time.
Mm.
I get done with the meeting, make sure the folks are fed, and I jump right into class. And it's pretty much go time from then until, you know, the weekend for me because of the radio station and all the other things.
Right.
That's weird that they chose that time. I guess I'm not alone.
Now that's going to
be
totally stuck in your head, and you're going to look at the clock. Oh, time to go.
Yeah, it's go time.
3:54.
It is go time, apparently. Yeah. I don't know. I think that this stuff is also, you're not going to think about it until Sunday's going on.
No.
This story is going to pop back up in our listeners and plenty of people's heads on Sunday when they're bopping around and like, oh, geez, this is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just more time. Like, you hit it on the head earlier, man. It screams that we as... now, granted, if we all had a four-day work week, I guarantee you that this list would still have some of these things on it, if not all these things. And I'm not saying that would, you know, fix up. Oh, there we go. We solved that problem.
Right.
We'd still have issues with this problem, but it wouldn't have as many. Wouldn't have as tough.
I think for certain things, it would definitely be helpful, yeah.
And I don't think that we would have the mental health issues we have nearly as bad with a 4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to take my word for this. You can go ahead and look at the smartest economists in the world will tell you this could work. That this could
100%
businesses would not be
that are already doing it.
Yeah,
that it's working for.
There's plenty of examples.
There's some schools that are experimenting now with 4-day school weeks and stuff like that. So yeah,
we did that when I was in grade school.
And to all your business, all you businesses out there and everything, keep in mind you've got plenty of people like Melissa and I out there that are not going to. I mean, are still going to be working just as hard.
Yeah,
maybe smarter or maybe better or more creative or who knows.
What you were referring to, James, is the studies they've done is that productivity does not get hurt by doing one less day a week. It's about the same. If you do it right, everything should still work out the way it should. Maybe we have a few more people in the workforce. you know, to cover that extra time. That's a good thing, right? More people working. Yeah.
Well, and as we struggle with this horrible back and forth in this state about minimum wage and the idea that this mind-boggling idea that people can live, that a teenager, let alone a grown adult, could live on $7.50 an hour or something like as we continue to go back and forth on this topic, if you are on the other side of this, of hey, $7.50 is enough, well, and I'm trying to push you to put it up more, a four-day work week gives you a little more flexibility, gives you a little more wiggle room to be able to pay your employees an actual living wage in some of this, and maybe even create more jobs, as you might need more people for more shifts.
Exactly.
It's a win-win kind of situation.
Sounds pretty good to me.
The biggest problem with a lot of this stuff is change.
Change is hard. Change is hard.
There are people out there, and I could be like this with some things too. I'm not at all.
I think everyone is. Yeah,
I get a little stuck in the mud sometimes.
Change is uncomfortable and awkward for almost everybody. When's the last time you heard some? I love change. You don't hear that very
not
often.
Really, not much.
This is the thing though, man. Every great thing that has ever happened began with change.
It's true.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Change ain't so bad. Change ain't so bad. Now it's bad when it's in your pockets and they're weighing your pockets down and everything. And I'm like,
wow. Oh my gosh, it's Friday, isn't it? Yes.
A great change would be having less emails coming at me asking for money. Can we make that change?
That's a good change.
Sick of it. I don't have money to give you, and I don't want to pay for you to put more ads, to send more emails, to ask me for more money.
Every political party under the sun. If you want more money, pay us more, and maybe we'd be able to help your campaigns.
Sure. There we go. A vicious cycle. We need to keep going.
Right. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to end the segment on a joke.
You were.
Happy. It's so great. It's Friday. Let's go to break.
We'll be back. I'm calling it pre-Saturday now. It's not Friday anymore. It's pre-Saturday.
Pre-Saturday. Oh, now, yeah, we got another prequel.
Shoot. We're trying to get away from that.
Got more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show. Wouldn't you like to see something strange? Maybe somebody's going to do this in karaoke tonight.
Yeah. Oh, maybe someone will.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater got their spooky karaoke going on tonight, 6 to 9, over at the auditorium.
Mm. Oh, I'm surprised it took you this long to find that, man. Yeah. One of your favorites.
I didn't want to overdo it.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to do it every segment of every show. I'm trying not to try, but I wanted to do it every show. We've got a good, fun story to kind of wrap up with. We got a couple of those, actually. Our friends over at Nickelodeon celebrated the second season of its Dora series by gathering 1,800 piñatas at the 78th annual East Los Angeles Mexican Independence Day Parade.
Wow.
The Children's Cable Network's contribution to the parade broke a Guinness World Record with 1,800 piñatas in various shapes, colors, and sizes.
That's awesome.
Are piñatas one of the coolest things ever?
They're so awesome.
Yeah.
Have you guys gotten to do that before?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, mine never look cool.
Not like the good, really nice ones. Mm. I'm with you, but still, it was fun to make.
It's fun to make them.
There are a lot of advantages of growing up around a lot of Latin families. This is one of them. This is one of the big ones.
That's so cool.
You learn a lot of cool words. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of good food, great people, and piñatas. There's a lot of good stuff about it. That's a fun story. That's pretty cool. Like that's one of those Guinness World Records where I'm like kicking myself, like, oh, I wish we would have had that one. That'd be a fun one to break. Yeah. Imagine just like, because you got to break them. You can't just have all these pinatas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just constantly just breaking them. Candy everywhere. Oh, it sounds so much fun.
That does sound like fun.
We got a lot of fun things going on in our community this weekend, including here at the station. Got a great midday magazine lined up to wrap up the week. In part one, at 4 o'clock today, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston will be joining us.
Okay.
Senator Teston and I will be discussing this interview is a little bit different than our normal interviews. This one is about candidacy. because we'll be having the representative that is running against Senator Tessenon as well. And here at WFHR, for decades, we have given candidates the equal amount of time and same questions. Mm-hmm. With these interviews, there are no follow-up questions because a follow-up question might be different from one candidate than another.
Yep.
So they are a little bit shorter usually, but they are concise and strong and good. And every one of our candidates, we thank very much for joining us.
Yep.
Big thank you to Pam for the scheduling job she does too. In part two today, I'm excited about it. I've been looking forward to this all week. Wisconsin Rapids Fire Chief Todd Ex is going to join us.
Nice.
That's excellent. Good to talk to Chief Eckes.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little fire prevention month and some tips for that and some other great things with Mr. Eckes. So looking forward to that. Great stuff lined up all weekend long here at WFHR and our sister station, WIRI. We'll be here with Playmakers today from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for our Sports Live call-in show. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that hour. And we'll lead you into, on WIRI at 6:50, Lincoln High School hosting Eau Claire North. Randy, Mike, and Seth going to cover that one for you.
Last game of the year for Lincoln. I really hope you caught the game last night with Assumption and Rochelle. It was one for the ages, everyone.
Really?
I want to do a big congratulations to the I know they only had like five seniors on the Assumption team this year, but congratulations on them for getting a win in their final game. That was their only win this year, everybody. And there's going to be a lot of changes coming up for Assumption football. So going off on a high note like that in just an absolutely crazy game, it was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, we'll have Wisconsin football for you. Our pregame kicks off at 9 a.m., so no over the back fence this weekend.
No, jeez.
The Badgers heading to Evanston to take on my mom's Northwestern Wildcats.
Ooh.
It should be a good one right there. Mm-hmm. And 5:30 on Saturday, we'll have Wisconsin men's hockey as they host Ohio State.
Ooh.
Some good
on
stuff.
On the Buckeyes.
This weekend, great programming lined up for you. And it kicks off on Sundays at 7 o'clock with Sunshine Polka Show.
Yep.
Join our man Tim Hubble for one of the greatest shows of all time.
All time.
Check that out 7 to 8 every Saturday. 8 a.m. Terry Talks Nutrition with Terry Lemron, brought to us by our great friends at Family Natural Foods. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to them for that. And, of course, Sunday nights, we've got great stuff lined up for you. Sunshine Poker Show has a replay at 1 o'clock. Check that out. And Director's Cut from 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Seth and I do a great job of get a great chance to be able to talk to some of our great creatives out there. Mm-hmm. This week, we're talking a little bit of film.
Yeah, little silent movies.
Yeah. Ooh.
I had a chance to go to the Duck Soup Cinema, which they hold down at the Overture Center at the Capitol Theater in Madison. I took my 10-year-old with me because they always do a Halloween-themed one in October every year. This year was The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, a film that's over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Very amazing experience. They have a live organ playing for it, which... Man, if you've ever seen a silent movie with a live organ, it's a cool experience. If you get a chance, check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And head on over there. Shout out to them for doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be focusing on the classic, The Gold Rush.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't watched it since I was a kid. I've watched scenes, but hadn't watched it since I was a kid. I put it on. The credits didn't even start, and I started tearing up. That was my Papa and I's movie, man, it just got me.
Awesome.
So it's going to be a fun show today. Yep. Be looking for Director's Cut, 5 to 6 this Sunday and every Sunday. 6 to 8, you got Seth facing the music.
That's right. Best of. It was the second mystery show I did last year. So that's where we're going to be rebroadcasting that one. I don't even remember what the mystery was. Honestly,
it's a mystery.
It's a mystery, even to me. It's a mystery, everyone. But tune in for that one.
And 8 to 9, a new episode of Unlabeled.
Mm-hmm.
Our episode 2, side B of your tape for the best of 91. Class of 91. We're focusing on
stuff.
Grunge and some alternative in this one right here. Be sure to check that out and spread the word about all these shows. Everybody appreciate it. We've got some good stuff going on in the community this weekend. Seth, tell them about it.
Well, in fact, it starts this evening, everyone. And let's see, what time is it? It's like, you should start lining up now because it's going to be busy over at the ODC tonight because they've got their free haunted warehouse from 6 to 9:30 tonight and tomorrow on Saturday. This is an all-inclusive wheelchair accessible community event. Like I said, free to the public. They have going to have food trucks there while you're waiting in line. The weather, by the way, is going to be a lot nicer than it was last year. It was cold last year when we did it. So
this year will be perfect.
This year will be really nice at 1191 Huntington Avenue. They have the Chicken Lane, which is a kid-friendly experience. They have games there. You get to win candy and other goodies as well. But they also have the scary experience. Mm. And I have to say, that was pretty scary last year. So I wonder if they've upped their game. Interesting to see what they do. For more information, go to their Facebook page about this. But I think it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous success again this year. So go have some fun and support our folks over at the ODC.
Our friends at Paper City Savings are having a brat fry going on, and it kicks off in just a couple of minutes, everybody. It'll be going till 2:30 today over at their A Street office. All the proceeds are benefiting our local United Way. Head on over there, get a brat, and while you're enjoying that food, you know that you're putting into your community like nobody else, because that's what the United Way does.
That's right.
Appreciate our friends at Paper City Savings hosting this. Get a brat today until you got until 2:30 at their Wisconsin Rapids office on A Street, and again, all the proceeds benefiting the United Way.
Cool.
Our great friends at the Historic Point Boss have their spirit walk this weekend.
Woo.
Be sure to check it out this weekend from 6 to 8. And if you can't, you'll have another chance on the 26th, next Saturday, to be able to do it from 6 to 8. Take a guided lantern-lit walk around Historic Point Boss.
Cool.
And keep history alive over there like they do. Encourage you to do that, everybody.
I do a quick cross promotion, James?
Yeah.
Our morning show is going to be featured a short little clip from our Pet of the Week this last week on WGBW's new Wisco Weekends.
Wow.
From 8 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. I did a little piece on hopefulness and joyfulness of adopting shelter pets.
Wow.
Oh, very cool.
They're including it in their new Wisco Weekends show.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's
really cool.
Excellent.
Nice work, Melissa. Yeah. Nice job. Last year, an 11-year-old girl named Rosalind Olson showed up at a city hall in Clearfield, Utah, and asked for a meeting with the Parks Department. She said a playground near her house wasn't good for kids under 5 years old, so her sister couldn't use it. She'd drawn a picture of some changes she'd had in mind. It turned out they couldn't change the park she was talking about, but they loved an initiative. So they designed another new park based on her drawings, and she was there for the ribbon cutting last month.
That's an awesome story.
Isn't that cool?
Oh. Excellent.
Great show today, you two. Have
you
a great
too,
weekend.
Man. Thank Have you a great guys. Weekend.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.